Episode one, spiked up, Darren and Matt. I've been begging Darren for about 4.5 years to do a podcast, and now that we're in the social distancing, 10 feet away or 7 feet away, he's finally agreed to it. We thought it'd be fun to, you know, kind of come to you, and I can ask Darren some of your questions that you have and questions I have, and then we can just kind of have fun. The main thing on this is we're just going to be ourselves, have fun, but, you know, we want to keep people informed. I think we can kind of, Darren can kind of share some of the news that you know, has been relayed from him and the MLS, the league, sports in general. But also I thought, you know, us being kind of having families and being dads, we could kind of have some fun about, you know, what it's like being quarantined. So Spiked Up was the name. Darren, you didn't like that name? You wanted...
Yeah, hi, Matt. Yeah, hello, everyone. It's good to be here. It's nice to get out of the house, to be fair. I think, like everyone, I was just laughing with Matt earlier. I've told my wife that I'm going to be here at least 4 hours filming this, so at least I get a little bit of time without the two twins.
My wife said, hey, you're going to the training ground. Can you bring the kids? No. We're the only ones that are allowed here, and our friends back here, they won't allow kids. Just us. We're the only ones on the security list, so no.
Yeah, I'll just share one thing. I'm going to have to coach mine because at the start of every day they say, is the virus still here? I say yes, and they go, yay! Because they know that means I'm around for another few days. I'm going to tell them it's not a good thing.
I was thinking, and we can get into this, but like, you know, you and I travel a lot. So it has to be kind of crazy for the kids to just have your dad there every day. And my wife has a pretty crazy job as well. And it's sometimes, you know, we're both on a conference call or a Teams call or Zoom, and you're like, oh, here, Netflix here, Barbie's on, go watch that and be lazy for 3 hours.
Well, I found that I didn't know about until recently American Ninja Warrior, that has been the saving grace, because there's 11 series for the boys to go back. So we're going on a time travel in series 7 at the moment and going backwards, but...
Yeah, I watched Tiger King. Have you watched that yet?
No, I heard it's crazy.
Yeah, that's I watched that in one night, so that was good. But no, Tiger King's crazy. So you have to watch that, and then maybe next episode we can go through that and dissect that, because that is absolutely insane.
Yeah, I'll definitely do that. But just quickly to go back to the point where you overruled me on the name of the podcast. Yeah. Quite like Spiked Up, who can not like a good pun, but... I wanted to call it Positive Vibes. For those of you who've seen the sign at Mercedes-Benz Stadium with a picture of Frank. So it's got Positive Vibes on it, and Frank with his general standard look, which, as we all know, is not exactly the smiliest. As I learned to my cost in dad jokes with him, which, you know, by far and away the hardest person ever to do dad jokes again is Frank. But yeah, so I wanted Positive Vibes. The whole idea of this is to have a bit of fun and to give our fans something to, you know, take their minds off what's happening.
And I'll tell a Frank story, because we want to be real and open on this. Positive Vibes, I looked it up. There's like 3 weed and CBD companies named Positive Vibes. So I said, why don't we go Spiked Up? And you agreed to that. But can I tell you my funny Frank story is, like you said, he's very to the point. We've been doing the live streams, the archive live streams, and we had, you know, I had talked to Frank last week. Hey, Frank, you're going to live tweet about the New York City game last week. It's going to air on Saturday. Or I think it was Wednesday. So we called him last Monday. No problem, Matt. No problem. And then I texted him on Wednesday. Hey, are you still good to do the live tweet? And he said, he never wrote back. Texted his agent, his publicist, texted you and Carlos. Hey, can you see if you can get Frank? So the match airs on 7:30 Wednesday night. And then I get this call from about 7:41. Sorry, Matt, I forgot. I had my other phone. Let's reschedule. No problem, Frank. So it's just like you with dad jokes. I thought that was great. It was just Frank who he is. I love it.
I did laugh. I'll share the one story I remember with you. So obviously I'd met Frank from past history. We'd obviously got the contract all signed up. He's on board. We're meeting all the staff. And I remember we had a meeting. I think we were in Philadelphia for the draft. And he got to meet you and Elena for the first time and had a chat. And, you know, Frank was his usual sort of Dutch self in the meeting. And I remember you afterwards thinking, you know, crikey, that didn't go down too well. So, and I was thinking, wow, that's the smiliest I've seen him since he...
What's great is, I mean, if you guys don't know, I mean, Darren and I have been doing this from the beginning. And so we had Tata. And me and Tata were like best friends by the beginning. Like we, you know, we went on media tours together and I could make him laugh. He could make me laugh and I could send him memes and things on that on WhatsApp and his staff. And then the first time I met Frank was at Philadelphia. We were in a conference room in like the Philadelphia hotel, like the Hyatt or something. And I said, Darren, that guy hates me. And you're like, no, that actually went really well. But I thought I'd start, Darren. Let's, you know, just be real. I mean, you know, you've been in sports a long time. I've been in sports a long time. I mean, there's been nothing like this. I mean, I think 9/11 might be the closest thing I've ever experienced to this when kind of things shut down. I've been through an NFL lockout, but I mean, this is kind of just surreal, you know?
Yeah, look, it's uncharted territory, I think, for everybody. And we're seeing that. No one really knows from a timescale when we're going to get things back to normal. And obviously the most important thing is that people stay safe. And, you know, a big thank you to all the medical workers who are out there on the front line dealing with this, because, you know, what they're doing is just incredible. But, you know, from it makes sports, you know, you realize that it is a smaller thing and it's not as, you know, as important at some as we perhaps think at the time. We sometimes tend to get in a bubble where we think, you know, whether it's soccer, whether it's NBA, NFL, you think it's the most important thing in the world. And then something like this happens and you realize it's just nothing compared to.
I know. It's crazy. And, you know, us having kids, I mean, like we can talk a little more about being quarantined. But, I mean, have you been to the grocery store yet?
Can I also say we're doing this outside in the middle of hay fever season. So as we go through this, I promise
guys,
you it's not
Darren
coronavirus.
Does not have coronavirus.
I'm
just got
dying
some pollen.
From the pollen. So another great idea for doing it out here.
Well, hey, we got Luke. If you do a wide shot, Luke's our facility guy who lets us in and we're the only two people allowed in the building right now. We're not allowed in the building, so I convinced him to let us do it outside, and there's bumblebees and things are pollinating and the grass, the pollen's all over the place. But big shout out to him. And but it is, have you been in the grocery store yet?
Yes, no, actually, just feel very pleased. Got some toilet roll yesterday. So I feel like I've checked one off my list.
I was in North Carolina for a funeral yesterday. And I went, my brother and I went to grab some barbecue because we like the North Carolina barbecue and we brought a cooler and going to bring it back to Georgia. And the stock workers were stocking the toilet paper. And I'm like, oh, they have toilet paper here. I'm going to grab as many as I can. And you would have thought it looked like the Black Friday, like the Best Buy, like the TV for $3.99 back in the day where people were just beating the crap out of each other.
It's going to date me, like the Cabbage Patch Dolls when people would fight over.
It was unbelievable. And I grabbed two rolls and I feel really good. I think that'll last me another couple of weeks.
I'll tell you what, they're here. It's been interesting talking to my folks back in England and where they are now in England, it's done like a fairground ride. So they'll only let you, you have to circle up 6 feet apart in a snake line to get into the store, and they'll only let a certain number into the big grocery store. So we've still got, you know, I think a ways to go.
I know. It's insane. And I've also learned my infatuation for ramen noodles.
Yeah.
I've kind of gone back to that where
your student days, yeah.
Yeah, it kind of brought me out of college, and my wife thinks she's very unhappy because she does the Peloton every day, and while she's doing that, I'm doing a double batch of ramen noodles because they're so delicious. But I bought a whole box. I bought a whole box. It was unbelievable. But no, I thought, you know, I think it'd be fun to, or not fun, because it's not a fun story because corona, nothing's fun about coronavirus. But, you know, let's take back, you know, you and I went to the Azteca. We're in Mexico. And I think that's when we kind of, you and I met in the lobby and we saw how serious this thing might get. And then that day kind of spiraled out of control. You know, we were on Twitter. We kind of got the feeling of, you know, something's going on. It's getting serious in the U.S. And then by the time we were at the Azteca and I was in the press box and met you in the suite, the NBA had shut down.
Yeah, and I mean, it's pretty crazy when I think back to it, because during the day, I remember talking to the players, because we were out there, obviously, in Mexico City. Things were changing quite quickly, almost by the hour. And I had a chat with the players and the coaching staff after their video run through at lunchtime, just to say, look, this is the latest update from MLS. We'll obviously keep you posted. I remember at that time we were talking to CONCACAF saying we can't do a handshake because, you know, yeah, that had already been stopped in MLS and all other sports, but in CONCACAF hadn't really thought about it. So they said, no, it's going ahead. We said, well, we're not going to do it. So that's fine. But so it's amazing that that's what the level we were at. And then when we got to the game and the players were warming up, and while they were warming up, first we had the NBA player, obviously, that just was the catalyst to shutting down sport. But also we had President Trump give his address when he wasn't the clearest about the travel ban. So the first thing I thought was, crumbs, you know, we're going to struggle to even get back in the country. It was that moment where we knew that this was going to be serious. Obviously, we played the game and, you know, again, not wanting to be flippant, but it's just a shame 12 hours earlier we hadn't sort of cancelled matches because, you know, the result didn't go our way. But I'm just glad we got back the next day into the country.
And I remember we took a red eye back and we were on a charter, so we were pretty safe. But I still remember it was really eerie going through customs. I felt like we were the only people there. And, you know, they were asking you questions and, you know, where have you traveled to? And then you didn't know where to do. Like, could we come back here? Would you go home? Like, and then from there on out, like, it's just been kind of a different world.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. And, it doesn't seem that long ago in a way either.
So, all right, I thought it'd be fun to talk, you know, as the president of Atlanta United. And by the way.
Also, did you not get the dress code memo?
Well, that's what I was about to say. I was going to say, you know, they have the Men in Blazers podcast. I thought if you guys know me and Darren, and hopefully you'll get to know us if you don't. You know, I'm the behind the scenes digital guy, but I do like to have a good time with Darren. And that's why we wanted to do this. This is how I come to work dressed. And I called Darren, the mayor of Atlanta United. He goes out in the beautiful suit, blue shirt usually, and shakes hands and kisses babies. So I said, when I talked to him this morning, I said, look, let's just be ourselves. I'll wear the hoodie, you wear the suit.
Well, I'll tell you what, Matt, you got a tough act to follow because I was fortunate enough to go on the Men in Blazers podcast, which was, you know, a highlight for me and a highlight as well because I used to be a member of the FA in England. So just for people who don't know, the FA is the Football Association. It is really, really old-fashioned and old school. I've still got a photo. I remember they take a photo of everybody who's on the FA, and the average age is about 75. It's all white male. I mean, it's shocking, really, and it's something that needs to change. But when you get a member of the FA, you get a blazer. You get to go down to Savile Row. They measure you up, and you get a FA blazer. So when I was on Men in Blazers, I got my FA blazer out to turn up on the show. It was like the only chance I got to wear a proper blazer.
Well, what's funny is, if you want to really know, I had this on. And before I was even in the house, mom was like, that is the most wrinkled thing I've ever seen. Like, what are you? You're supposed to go on, like, you're doing a video with the president? And so she ironed it for me. So it is, I am a little clean. It is
at least that. Yeah, well,
pristine hoodie. But no, that's why we did this. This is kind of, we want to be who we are. But I thought it might be fun, and I think people can relate. So being at home, and like I said, Darren travels more than anyone I know. And he'll go to Dubai for like the, you know, the Footballers Association. Like, there's a picture with Darren. We need to find it. Mikey, we'll find it and put it on this. We're like, you're literally speaking to guys like oil tycoons. And
all the sheikhs. Yeah, no. I spoke in Qatar about, so it was helping the World Cup committee. Because from a football administration perspective,
anything and everything. So I know it's got to be tough. So I thought I would go through a few things. So let's start with conference calls. I feel like all I do now is the video conference calls. And I know you are in more than those than I am, because a lot of times I call you and you're like, I'm on a conference call. I'll call you later. What's your background? What do you go with?
So I'm fortunate. I've got a little apartment at our place. So I tend to hole up there. But I did have in the background a spiral staircase that takes you to the mezzanine. It wasn't a great backdrop. And we were doing our staff town hall. So I did a little homemade project and built a step and repeat. So I got three of the Atlanta United flags that we give away. That I've got boxes around my house. Like, my wife is hoping the one thing that comes out of this over the next month or so is that I clear out all the junk that we've got. So I made a step and repeat. It looks really impressive. But here's the attention to detail that they went to. So when I'm doing Teams or Zoom, it's obviously the shot I get, the test shot, had it in reverse. So cleverly, I reversed the flag so that you get the perfect shot when, you know, you're promoting it. Anyway, I did the town hall, and then I did a press conference today, and I saw some of the TV journalists taking a screen grab
they were
of
backwards.
It, and it's backwards. So all I've done is reverse the reverse. So now I've got to go back and redo it. And it took me, at least an hour.
So I'll tell you mine. So my wife, like I said, she's more important than me, has a more important job than I do. And so she's kind of taken over the house as her office, gets the team. She has a nice background. It's like a nice, like, bookshelf with, like, the, you know, nice dolls and plates and stuff. I literally go on my porch, and it's all pollinated and and then one time I was on a call with you and the Wi-Fi wasn't working. So I went up to my bedroom and my kid's running around naked in the background. It felt like that BBC reporter where like they have to grab him. But it is so funny to watch people's background. And, you know, shameless plug, Atlanta United has now put out backgrounds that you can download off atlut.com and Twitter. You can have your own Atlanta United background. But it is funny to see people's background. And it was funny. I would like to get your perspective. I saw Rich McKay had like Abraham Lincoln and his any other like terrible backgrounds you've seen?
No, I would say it's terrible. It's inspiring, isn't it, to see Honest Abe behind Rich. Like we said, two great leaders there, Rich McKay and Abraham Lincoln. But it is funny, Rich was laughing. We were laughing because we do a call every day at 9 o'clock, catch up calls. So, you know, we literally know each other's houses. And he's like, oh, you haven't shaved for 3 days now, Darren.
I know. I think you saw me the other day and you said I look like the scene from Blair Witch Project.
Yeah, no, because you had a really tight angle. I don't know what you were trying to hide in the background, but...
That was the one where, like, I couldn't get good connection on my porch, so I went downstairs. It was raining, so I was literally under my deck, and I had a hoodie on and a beard that had not been shaved in weeks. And you were like, good, turn your video off. Next, dealing with kids. I think we touched on it a little bit, but you and I both have two kids. You have two boys, I have two girls. I mean, how do you deal with that? Do you let them, like, do you let them go outside and run around? Like, because for me, there's a point in time where I'm like, we got to get them out of the house.
Yeah, no, we're trying to do it. Obviously, they haven't got school, so we've got mini school, we call it.
Yeah,
so
we do that too, but my kids don't want to do it. Yeah, they just, like, they want to watch Barbie.
No, that's true, but we have to sort of bribe them. So Miss Faith, my wife is known as Miss Faith for mini school. They have the sort of circle time. We've got like a circle we put down. They bring their stuffed toy animals, and they share stories for the day, and then Faith tends to do the morning, and then I'm the PE teacher. So
in the afternoon,
I've just got... To be fair, it's every time I go to the supermarket, I buy, like, I must admit, you know, yesterday I bought mini ice hockey sticks. So we just do sports. So whether it's ice hockey, badminton, obviously we do soccer, American football, American Ninja Warrior, anything we can. So that tends to be the afternoon.
All right. So I think the challenge is you have to build an American Ninja Warrior course in your backyard. Did you go to it when it was at Home Depot backyard, by the way?
No, I didn't. And I mean, to my... I don't know if I can ever show the twins that it was actually in Atlanta because they would
be
kill
so
me.
Yeah. I took my niece to it, and we were there till like 2 a.m, and it was the greatest thing I've ever been to. Yeah.
I mean, honestly, passed me completely by. Never seen it. Actually, love it. Like it's
great.
It's a great show.
It's great, and the announcers are great.
The only thing I'd say, and you look at it and you think, yeah, I could probably do that. So my head, when it comes back to Atlanta, you know, perhaps I'll go do it. We went down.
They did let the staff. Try.
Ah, but here's the thing, and it looks, doesn't it, like it's pretty easy. We went down to Clearwater when the season ended, and we stopped on the way at like one of these extreme hop ninja places. Boys were ecstatic, so I had to go at the warp wall. Literally, you know, got halfway up, smashed my nose on the board, slid down. It is bloody difficult.
So I had that. Look, I was fortunate enough, you know, work with the company, send an email, hey, can I take my niece to this? Got front row seats, middle. And like the third guy, you know, they kind of, you know, they edited a lot for TV, right? So there's some breaks between, and the third guy that went through, he came down on the trampoline to like jump up and grab something, and he didn't hit flush.
Yeah.
And his knee went backwards. Oh. He fell in the pool. and I thought my niece was going to throw up.
Oh, gosh.
And then I thought I was going to throw up. And I was like, I wonder if that's going to make it on TV. And it never did.
No, I don't think they probably want to advertise that. But that might be one for our listeners. What were your ninja name? Ninja names.
That's a good one.
I hadn't really thought of one. Like, the kids have got theirs, but I've got to think of what my...
And I will say, too, if you're listening to this, watching this, we're happy. We'd love some topics. D Eels, ATLUTD, at M Moore, ATLUTD. Very simple. We'd love some topics. We'd love the feedback. We'd love, you know, give us some questions. Give us some topics for the next show. All right, now eating. I think that's the other one. I talked about ramen noodles. Kind of big on the Jimmy Dean sausage biscuits. I have not been eating very healthy. How are you?
Better, but only because now I traditionally just DoorDash every night, and that's been banned now. I'm allowed one a week, so suddenly I'm having to eat leftovers and stuff that, you know, Faith cooked, which she's a great cook, so I'm not knocking that, but normally I'd just be DoorDashing a Thai or a Indian takeaway.
I know. I've done some takeout, Chick-fil-A a lot.
Yeah. Why is that not surprising?
Yeah, right. And it's one of the things where, like, literally, I feel such a slob. Like, my wife will be on the Peloton, you know, just grinding. You hear, like, oh, yeah, we got to, you know, we're going up this hill now. We're doing this. And then I'm like, do you need anything from Chick-fil-A? I'm going to run out, getting a couple kids' meals, and I'll get a spicy chicken sandwich. It's just, I've been bad. I got to get better. I'm trying to do the 1,000 push-ups in a week, and I'm at 400 right now.
After what, 6 days?
Five.
It's only 600 tomorrow, then you'll be fine.
Yeah, we'll be good. I can't really lift more than here.
So how does that work? Have you got to do them in one time per day, or can you
do
them
any time? No, you can do them a day. So it's like 130-ish a day. And I did like 200 the first day, and then like another like 50 the next day. And then I'm like, oh, I'll keep this pace and I'll be good. But then you realize how sore you are.
Yeah.
And I tried one on Saturday, and I was like, no, I'll wait till Monday. So I've done like 40 today.
Yeah.
I've done like 40 today.
Ooh, but I might try good. That one. That sounds yeah, like yeah. good.
All right. So my next one was, let's just have some fun. I thought, let's talk about the track run in Honduras. I think that was one of your more engaged videos, and I was the brunt of it. I thought we could take people through the Honduras track run.
Yeah, no, that was great, wasn't it? I mean, that was a case
and
where
Mike,
I think,
you can show that on the over if you want.
And, you know, if you remember, it was, we're out in Honduras having to play at a neutral venue. So it was a stadium that allegedly was only about 25 years old that felt like it was about 200 years old.
That was the funniest thing. That was the funniest thing where I literally thought that place had been built in 1908. And I was like, I asked Chris Winkler, who's our kind of historian guy, I'm like, when was this built? Like 1920, 1930? He looked it up. He goes, 1996
it's amazing,
or 97. I was like, what? It's like, oh, it was younger than the Georgia Dome.
Yeah, no, it was crazy. And it was, so, you know, it was our first game. You could sense there was a bit of apprehension, just, I think, nerves coming into the first match. And that's when real heroes step up. And that's where you, Matt Moore, sensed that perhaps there was a chance to lighten the mood. And I think you suggested you could go around, was it 2 minutes?
2 minutes.
2 minutes. Me, internal monologue, didn't say it out loud, thought, oh, there's no way he's going to do that. And then Carlos backed you. So I saw that as an opportunity, a license to print money, so to speak, where I could just wager against you doing that with Carlos. And honestly, to this day, I still think that was the best bet I've ever made from a value perspective, because I was getting 100%. Even money. No way you were going to do it. And to be fair, to this day, I don't think you would have done it if it hadn't been. I mean, you shot off. It was the funniest thing. You shot off like you were Usain Bolt, aerodynamic hands.
So,
you were like running into the wind. You went far too quickly after being told by your coach, Bocanegra, not to.
Carlos Bocanegra, who's Mr. Fitness Guru and is probably worse than my wife about challenging me to be healthy. I mean, he's always like, oh, come work out with me. And I'm like, oh, no, I got a conference call. You know, like, oh, no, my neck's sore, you know. He loves for me to be healthy. He's like big on everyone being healthy. And he's like, whatever you do, don't go out fast. And I sprinted out of the gate.
Yeah, you're like a cool guy out of a bottle. Cool.
After the second turn, I was like, I'm going to die. And I even thought in my head, I might just like make it, aha, funny Matt, just cut across the track, like the grass, and just get it over with. And
obviously, I was hoping you do that because that's immediate disqualification.
But
and
yeah, 100%. And then, but
cash
I kept
by
going.
That, I mean, imaginary monopoly.
I kept going,
money,
and I saw Brad Gazan, and literally, Pity Martinez has probably said three words to me in his career, but he was the smile on his face seeing me come around turn three kind of got me to turn to the end. And he grabbed the water bottle and shook it at me. And I was like, man, Pity Martinez is actually like knows who I am right now.
Yeah, look, I mean, it was inspirational. We had the Chariots of Fire music playing on my phone. So she came down the home straight with, and you did it with like 5 seconds to spare.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think seven actually. Or no, maybe six. But yeah, no, it was great. And I thought it'd be funny because you and I, and you are a better athlete than me. Growing up, you actually played, you know, college and professionally, but it is kind of funny that we still think we're athletes, you know, when we come out here and play in the staff games, which hopefully we can do sooner than later when this thing ends. But it is kind of funny how we, you know, we come out kind of chest out and thinking we're just, you know, really good. And then by the end of the staff game, like you and I are probably the two that are like, and Tony on and I'll do a shout at him, are like, why do we still do this?
No, to be fair, it usually takes me about a month to recover between games.
Well, after that run, I my hip hurt and my back hurt for like 2 weeks. It was great. All right, so my last thing, and I've made you do this. We're getting to time, and like I said, send us on Twitter what you want us to talk about next time. We'll do it. Well, this will be another thing spiked up with Darren and Matt. I thought it'd be fun. And I think you probably have more in your phone than I do. But I think the fun game, should we text the most famous person in our phone? And when this airs tomorrow, we can put on Twitter if either of them wrote back.
Now, this is interesting. I did think about this. So for the most famous person, and you need sort of context as well. So, for example, David Beckham doesn't count because he's an owner in the league. So
right,
that's not
right,
like a,
right.
a real thing. Now,
yeah, I could, like, Arthur Blank, easy yeah. one, because I could probably go through channels and get him to text me back.
So for me, it would have been, like, in my Spurs days, Adele was my celebrity to go to. So I watched, I remember it still to this day, Chelsea semi-final at Wembley Stadium. She came, because she's a big Spurs fan, so she wanted to come to the game. We were in the Royal Box, so the way it works in semi-finals at Wembley is you all... So you have 100 tickets for Spurs, 100 tickets for Chelsea. You sit in the Royal Box. You have a meal before the game. She wanted to come, but she was
being ripped. Hold on. Let's talk about that a little more. But if you haven't been, I've gotten the pleasure to go with Darren to a director box twice. One at Spurs when I first met you, and one in Aberdeen. Did you have the pies, like, at halftime?
No. This is Wembley. This is a Royal Box. For the
Better
FA.
Than that.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Because the pies were amazing.
No, the pies are good, but you know, that's a little bit beneath the sort of semi-final of the FA Cup, to be honest. But the funny thing was, so she wanted to come, big Spurs fan, and she's sending me texts, and she was concerned about eating with everybody and being seen. And I was like, oh, that's disappointing, because to me, she seems like a salt-the-earth yeah. kind of girl. So we found out, and I didn't know this till the time, we needed to find a room we could take her to. And they actually have a special room only for the royal family at Wembley. So it's like a little side room that if Prince William comes, because he's the chairman yeah. of the, or in the, you know, Prince Charles, whoever it is, they have a room. So we put Adele in this room. And the reason she's so worried is she's pregnant. And it hadn't broken yet. And she didn't want to announce it. So it all became apparent. Anyway, we watched the game and she is hilarious. I mean, she swore like a trooper the whole game. I mean, Spurs, we weren't very good that game. We got beat quite heavily. But she is hammering the ref. She's just, it was the funniest thing I had. So good bit of banter with her. I've got a mate now. I come to Atlanta United, drop me.
Yeah.
Every time I try and reach out.
I know. I've challenged you to, hey, Adele, when you watch this podcast, let's get back on it. Come on. You
need. Yeah, we had a good time.
Atlanta United needs to be your MLS American club. Adele, we need you.
So that leads me to then, who is it going to be in terms of my celebrity? But I thought, like, someone who is a legend of football, of the soccer world, who's retired now, but is, you know, is.
And by the way, I knew Darren would have like 50 people more famous than mine.
But he is, in my view, the best manager there's ever been in terms of football worldwide, and that's Sir Alex Ferguson.
Yeah.
So I'm going to censor Alex Ferguson a text, see if he remembers me, see if he just sort of ghosts me.
All right, so mine is someone who I haven't talked to in a while, but he was pretty loyal to me, and I think we texted at the same time, and I think the text is, hey, just checking in and making sure you're okay.
Yeah.
And we'll see if anyone writes back. Mine will be Matt Ryan.
Ooh.
You know, I was there for his rookie year at the Falcons, but I haven't seen him in a while. You know, big time, don't wanna, you know, gonna be a Hall of Famer, MVP.
I don't know how to do you. I mean, great guy. Played a round of golf with him 2 years ago when he won the MVP. And he is the nicest guy because
he's
what happened
best.
Was people were coming on the course to
He'll
do
take
autographs.
Take a photo of anyone.
Literally. And I couldn't believe the patience. Like, and I've, you know, worked with a few athletes that would have, after the first one, would have been on the phone, you know, to the golf course saying, you better stop this happening.
He's unbelievable.
Off. He is the nicest guy. Honestly.
Nicest guy there is.
Yeah.
And his wife is even nicer. So let's do
all
it.
Right, we're so gonna,
all right,
then,
here we
yeah.
go. All right, I'm going to say to Matt Ryan, and we'll, when this comes out tomorrow, we'll tweet if anyone wrote us back. I'll make sure I have Matt Ryan in my phone. Here we go. All right. I'm going to say, hey, just making hoping you and your family are doing well. That's what I'm going to say. Hoping you and your family are doing well. That's it. All right. And we'll let you know if Matt Ryan or Sir Alex Ferguson writes us back. I don't even know if that's the same number because it didn't even show delivered. So I may have
I'm not too sure.
All right, Darren, it's a pleasure. We'll we don't know the cadence of this with everything going on, but we'll at least do it at least once a week, maybe twice a week. We'll figure that out. But this has been fun. Like I said, at D Eels, ATLUTD, at M Moore, ATLUTD, you can hit our main account. It's been a lot of fun. And look, it's kind of fun to laugh. I think, you know, when I do the, you know, the video conference calls with your family and friends, that's my favorite parts of the day. And, you know, I encourage everyone else to do that too. And it's a tough time. I hope everyone stays safe, keep your social distancing, but at the same time, make sure you're with your family and you can have a good laugh.
Yeah, let me echo that. And everyone stay safe. I hope the family are well and cheers, and we'll do this again sometime.
Thanks, guys. I don't think that's Matt Ryan's number anymore, by the way.
Mine's come out with an error, invalid.